Good evening. Welcome. Well, wherever I hope you find just, well, I hope my sentence got all muddled up, but wherever you find yourself, and I do hope you are already at home in the comfort of your armchair, your chair, or in some just, you know, some quiet place for you to have a listen to the Business and Economic Zone, that the discussion that Invalda just had there in terms of on the home run invigorated you enough that it brings you into the Business and Economic Zone. Well, first point for us to start off on is that for tonight's session, the rules of engagement do apply. You can come through on the studio number 083-288-401 for your engagement based upon the discussion that emanates from last night's session, that about the digital labor, the digital platforms, and how it changes labor and the practices of labor. Well, I had a mouthful to share last night. I have some more to share tonight, and these are based upon fears itself that come through from a study that the United Nations, a specific unit in the United Nations, had encased in a report. This report was based upon taking a look at the Caribbean and the North American, zone for the UN. And this is particularly isolated, particularly with the magnifying glass on how these, they call it the gig economy. It's known as the gig economy. In most part, my discussion of last night was the influence that the gig economy has on labor practices. So the application in its truest form, it might not have been as clear cut in terms of that, but the gig economy is still encased within the fourth industrial revolution change, because the gig economy is something that we see directly. The other component towards this overall economic migration, because it is an economic migration in a form, is how it changes the classification of labor or labor discussions. Now, for that part, guys, my second sort of like a recipe, or not recipe, my second ingredient that I'm bringing for tonight's discussion, because last night's recipe or last night's ingredient was in itself sort of like the laying the groundwork, laying the foundations, although it was part and parcel only featuring on Brazil, South Africa, and India to a part. But that discussion in itself is not completely done and dusted. That one, based upon the research by Castel Branco and Dawson, because Castel Branco and Dawson themselves took a look at the Global South. And this report was from the UN's ECLAC office. Now, the ECLAC stands for Economic Something, Economic Caribbean and North American, somewhere American office. The acronym is a bit much, guys, but in that same vein, it's not for us to be, totally like, it's the Economic Commission for Latin America and the Caribbean. So it's not North American, it's Latin America and the Caribbean. Now, this report that was authored in 2017, just to stress that, was authored in 2017, and it was titled as The Labor Issues in the Digital Economy. So we have to understand the labor component, because guys, I don't know how many times I can stress this. I do not know how often I can stress this. Indicating a, advertising and speaking as if, there is opportunities abound for everyone in the gig economy or in the futures of the gig economy is probably one of the most misleading things you can ever say. Because ultimately, here is the scenario. We still have so many people that are dependent upon agriculture, especially if you take a look at Namibia's scenario, just some characteristics of Namibia itself. So the agricultural industry is the largest employer in the country. Then second to that is also you have the government is the largest employer as well in terms of, you know, as an entity itself. You've got a the private sector is pretty, I want to call it narrow, because there's only so many companies that can only absorb as much graduates. Then you've got three big universities in the country that are sort of like, you know, graduating or releasing 1,000+ graduates per year. And a lot of them are like first-time graduates. They have not worked before. They have not seen any formal employment or even paid any tax, meaning you occupied a tax number in order to, you know, to pay taxes, pay as you earn taxes. So there is a lot of dilemmas. I call them dilemmas, not problems, but dilemmas to first try and sort out. We still have to, you know, try and establish certain instances of getting everyone into a properly, you know, or solving the unemployment, the overall unemployment discussion. As I mentioned last night, you had the unemployment discussion, which was further exacerbated by the COVID pandemic, which also further, you know,
kukuruka na yowamba, kukuningsa ozere, nukusespika na mpito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke, rambangako uwera o HIV. Ayo kukupoperan, tani kuiruga na maoko uko. Tokoras gara, ninka wakuruga na yowamba. Moktura mwe hundiro liye yowamba zuma oko uko, di mogwana kuma pukuru kumanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kono morozo ye utantandatu zime, ntatwe utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura ko Facebook, ko VMMC Namibia.
Now coming back from that short break right there, I hate ending on the word, I know, it almost sounded like I was halfway, you know, through my thoughts, but still recuperate, still recapturing and, bringing back that thought where we left off, was that we've seriously got to take a look at certain dilemmas that are still present. Now, here's the thing. Here is the major big white elephant. I have to put emphasis on each of those words. For the fact of the matter being that the direction with regards to labor and advertising through various, either industry leaders. Well, industry leaders, I would not use, I'm using that term actually very loosely, because so far it has only been the fourth industrial revolution unit that the president established last year. It's only been them that have been promoting this component. And this component, well, let's also be honest, much of the promotion is not, it's not convincing enough. It is not convincing enough. We still, as Namibia, not as Africans, we still as Namibia, we have to understand even the Access to Information Bill and the powers that any commission, as well as the commissioners that will be appointed, that will represent that component, that bill. Because that bill will also allow for the establishment of a commission and the people that would work in it. So factor in also into your mind is that this will be another regulatory authority established by government with regards to access to information. Now, we still have to understand that component. We still have gaps, especially like I mentioned last night, in our education systems. Or in our education system overall, because the parents do not feel, you know, they don't feel reassured in the formations and the movements that have happened. Because, guys, you need to take a holistic look at things. If labor supply experiences a disconnect with what an industry or an economy wants, then there will be mass confusion. It's not that I'm trying to be the harbinger of doom in any formal manner, but look at the situation while it's looking back at you. Look at it while it's looking back at you. Now, this report from the ECLAC, the Economic Commission for Latin America and the Caribbean, which is a zone in the United Nations itself, they realized the same concern that those two authors or those two researchers from WITS, the University of WITS, realized as well, that there is a reclassification of labor and it changes the game in terms of labor discussions. Now, it's essential, guys, because I have not heard of any unionists either in South Africa or either in the Global South speak about this component. I also just had, with this report, I also just had a quick look, but I see this was predominantly coming from various researchers that were looking at how labor contracts or contract negotiations with regards to labor and work were being reclassified in the gig economy. The gig economy, guys, is a component of the fourth industrial revolution. Please understand that. The gig economy is a part of the fourth industrial revolution. It is not the fourth industrial revolution. It is part of it. It's one of the components. Now, to understand what this report was looking at is the same direction that the other two researchers were hinting at in my discussion of last night. So what did they look at? So that they looked at, first and foremost, labor issues regarding the on-demand company or the on-demand economy. Sorry, the on-demand economy. The on-demand economy that discussion was broken up into three sections. You had non-standard employment and employee misclassification. They especially used the word misclassification, not reclassification, as the other two researchers of last night, misclassification. And also social security in the on-demand economy. And then the aspect which most unions, labor unions, always make use of, collective bargaining. Now, I'm not going to get into the collective bargaining component because then you'll have to get into the sort of like the policies of labor unions itself. But we're not there. I'm going to ignore that last component because that last component is clearly last because it clearly has to do with concerns when a problem or a dilemma has shown itself or has identified itself, then you get to the collective bargaining approach. So what is the scenario? What the scenario indicates in this report was that in 2017 already, and I'm just giving you from the abstract, I'm not going to get into much of the nitty-gritties, but in 2017 already, this report indicated in its abstract that the digital work platforms, especially like those of Uber, of the likes of Uber or Lyft, those kinds of stuff, they've brought their efficiency components, for sure. They've brought efficiency because passengers saw there was an efficiency aspect. You didn't have to wait for a specific taxi or you didn't have to wait for a specific scenario to be more favorable for you. In effect, if there were 10 people in your vicinity that were an Uber driver or that registered as an Uber supplier, you have the option of 10 different suppliers, technically. However, what they did also do is that they increased the insecurity component. They increased the insecurity component. It's the same sentiment that the other two researchers of last night also indicated, that there is a sense of insecurity that gets exponentially increased. But we will get into that. Now, some of these challenges that are posed as well, besides the insecurity, is that companies can replace employees with contract workers to control costs, but this may also lead to lower pay, lower benefits, and lower job security. And it's especially what the gig economy is doing. up until today, guys. Up and till today. Now, for most parts, the gig economy sourced in various kinds of remote-based kinds of jobs that can be done. For example, like copywriting, you know, someone that is a writer, like an author, you know, when writing. Copywriting services or photography services or even various kinds of ICT-based jobs. That's what this remote scenario or this gig economy has exported a lot. And another one is also specific other kinds of functions like, you know, teaching English to someone in Korea from Namibia. You're in Namibia and you're teaching English to someone in Korea, stuff like that. It is allowed for such functions. However, I gave you one of the negatives, one of the disadvantages of in last night's discussion, that you will be measured especially based upon an algorithm. Remember, between 2017 and between 2022 is a 5-year difference. So things have rapidly changed up until today. And what the researchers of last night saw was that there was more reliance on service providers or on companies that are acting as the facilitator or as the hirer, as the hiring company, that they make use of, that they depend a lot more on algorithms to assess what an employer or a contract worker, because they also use the terminology of contract work here, to assess the level of contract work or contracted work that has been done, and also to determine what pay you can get. So there is no set fixed rate. There is a fixed rate or scale of fixed rate, most probably. I mean, you cannot sign up to something without knowing what you can potentially earn based upon what you can deliver or what you will deliver. There is no way you can walk into a negotiation like that. However, the scenario is pretty alarming because, as I mentioned, the insecurity aspect, the insecurity component that I mentioned last night is so prevailing, is so over, is, well, so omnipresent, meaning it starts becoming a very obvious to people in the gig economy, that you can, firstly, either be overloaded with work and you will not be able to complete all tasks in time or within a specified segment of time. Or alternatively, the other component is that you won't be able to completely finish up or, you know, be able to deliver quality work within the specified, you know, deadline or period and so on. Which then ultimately leads to this algorithm seeing, okay, Dwight didn't finish all the copywriting, tasks that was assigned to him. So, you know what, we're not going to pay him, or we're just going to disconnect him as a service provider because he's not being very reliable. Now, what this research from this UN unit also discovered was that they proposed an urgent debate, an urgent policy debate on how to best prepare workers for this reality. Remember, this is in 2017, 5 years back. Now, they indicated that this gig economy also brings with it. You guys have all seen the flexibility that the gig economy offers, meaning anyone can become an intermediary in terms of services and tasks and jobs and opportunities, and then just display it through a platform, meaning a website or an application. Then, which acts as an advertisement platform, almost like an information notice board or an informative notice board. And then people sign on who are interested, and then you subtract one or other nominal fee somewhere, either from the people offering the jobs or from the people that you can successfully match to the jobs. In that same vein also, no job security is provided. There's no contract negotiation taking place. There's also, secondly, the aspect of welfare, as well as also, you know, the ability to bargain for better conditions or better incomes doesn't exist. the component in terms of looking at, you know, how much work do you need to do in order for you to either consider marrying, establishing your own family, and then also getting into a trend of, you know, mature, sort of like having a stable life and stuff like that. Because everyone wants that, people. Let's not live with some form of fantasy in our heads that there are people that want to stay the same, in the same position, in the same constant position for the rest of their life. People still want to move forward. People want to progress. That's how humankind is. That's how what we are. We want to progress forward. You don't want to sit still, for indefinite periods of time. That's an impossibility. Now, from this platform, they also noted that there's another threat that the gig economy also suggests. One of that these problems is that it has an isolating nature for the on-demand work. Or the on-demand work provides an isolation or an isolating component in terms of the work that has to be done. Meaning, you have to do it alone, or you are alone. Or the amount of work that you have to do, you technically don't have a social life. You will not be able to have a social life. Meaning, either hanging out with friends, or having quality time with family, or any component like that. Now, as the next ad break is creeping up on me in this regard, just some more pointers that we've got to look at is that it's essential to understand, guys, that, well, the ad break is already here, so let's just wait for it and then come back after.
The International University of Management, IUM, with the Wumbo no number no wish we faguja. Omanjirorongo oturataya academic year 2023. Ukapatruka enderera pa ifi urikore paparoe mo education. Ukarolongi fikora ire ugufe o health and social science. Osho maifano information and communication technology. O strategic management and leadership. Na taimonika no tourism. Osho hospitality and event management. Business administration ikuterera. Environmental studies and postgraduate studies. Adishota dimonika. Uerere otaumonika ko website. www.ium.edu.na. Ile utarere po embiro da IUM. Tikulipo pepe. Mo venduka, mongu renguru, mongu ediva, no mompae, utadi monika. Wireru tu hangi kongo di ya venduka, 061, ongo di, ne, natunatu, oma veri hamano, inda komesho, kufetokorori rimonjira, toiko mbona kui wainerao, pamwena IUM.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
But how can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter
in terms of the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, they were.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first.
For social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye.
Now we come back from the extended break right there, and well, that also gave me an opportunity to get a little bit of a breath in. So we've got to look at this component in terms of the digital platform or the digital platforms. Now, these digital platforms, guys, you've got to define them clearly for us to have that understanding of what they actually aim to do. So these digital platforms work, or the digital platform work, typically entails or includes self-contained tasks that can be performed relatively unsupervised, require short-time commitments on the worker's side, and are also more cost-efficiently performed by a human being than a machine. Meaning, like the examples of being a food delivery driver, being a copy, someone doing a online-based task like copywriting or software developer, you know, those kinds of functions, or just being location-based in terms of like the driver scenario. Now, this cost efficiency, apologies, guys, usually arises because the job consists of cognitive tasks that are difficult to program into an algorithm, meaning there's a need still for the human being. There's a need still for them. But, these, or the most, you know, these components do provide their concerns. And their concerns are very, 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 not alarming, but really, but somewhat thought-provoking. Because ultimately, it is all about whether or not you want to do the task. It's not criminal, but it does provide its sort of like worrisome or very concerning discussion. Now, what happens is the misclassification aspect. Now, the non-standard employment and employee misclassification is the first component that we look at. Now, they note that most digital platforms classify their workers as independent contractors or and not as employees. The main benefit of being a contractor, what they indicated in this report, is that it offers a higher level of flexibility. It's the illusion that you also sold, wherein the contractors determine when, how, and for whom work is actually performed, and while the employees do not. Secondly, for example, in the US, independent contractors are not protected under any Fair Labor Standards Act, because that is the act that they have in the US. And as such, also, are not guaranteed a minimum wage. So you cannot even negotiate or expect to start on the, or, you know, or expect to receive the minimum wage bargaining unit or bargaining platform to work from there. And that they also bear the full cost of any social security contributions that they have to make. They also do not receive no workers' benefits, such as holidays, nor insurance in the form of like health or medical aid, nor any maternity leave, nor any paid sick leave. Now, it notes in this specific misclassification that independent contractors in the US also have to cover their business expenses, which further reduces their take-home pay. That is the component of, they call it in other labor discussions, they call it, I almost said, flexible pay, but it's actually, you know, expendable income. It's income that you have to spend on things like buying food or spoiling yourself with like buying clothes or new clothes or, you know, just or things that you can do in your off or your free time, stuff like that. That's the component. It is expendable income. The other sort of like risk that that these gig or workers or employees in this gig economy or gig bubble also face is that the reduction in the responsibilities on the side of the company that gives the work. So what you have to look at in the most basic format of labor is that you've got the employee and you've got the employer. Now, usually in a direct contract of labor, which in a contract of labor is basically one side makes their skills available to the other side, and the other side has to compensate the side giving the skills for work that was done. Understand it as almost like you buying a loaf of bread at the shop. The shop makes the loaf of bread available. You have the money. You go to the shop, you buy the bread, you pay for the bread on the agreed price. Well, sometimes the loaf of bread is not agreed with you. It's just set a standard. And it's the same concept that you have to apply in labor. So you've got someone with skills that is willing to do the task. And the other side that needs the skills has to pay on an agreed rate to the side giving their skills. However, what the gig economy is now doing is that they are diminishing the responsibility on the side of the employer or the person that has this work and needs these tasks done by telling them, listen, you don't have to incur any extensive responsibilities in the broader labor market because you don't have to be directly responsible for the people that work for you. Remember, the people that work for you or the people that do the work for you. So it's also a question of how technology is framing labor. Labor, the labor market. How it is framing the labor market. I know, guys, it's a scary thought to think about. It's very scary. But this is the reality we live in. Once again, I do not want to sound like the harbinger of doom. But this is the scary stuff we have to get into. This is the scary thoughts we have to think about. The concept here is, if you have to look at Namibia, where there are companies that have to buy, that have to purchase, medical aid for the private, that's not the private sector, that have to buy medical aid facilities for their staff. This is now one of the responsibilities under the Namibian labor environment. A company in the private sector has to facilitate one or other medium. It's either you give pension or you give pension and medical aid. You cannot ignore to give pension. You cannot ignore pension in Namibia. If the person works 8 to 5 or a time frame of work that resembles an 8 to 5 scenario, you've got to offer the person a social security aspect, which is the pension. Medical aid is based upon if it is affordable for the company. Medical aid is an optional option for the company. Otherwise, in certain components, medical aid then becomes like part and parcel of the overall package that you get. Now imagine the scenario of they take that away. And they take the pension component away. Then the company says, listen, they can tell the social security in the gig economy aspect, listen, we can't pay you social security contributions because we don't have fixed staff contracts. We cannot provide you with fixed staff contracts. But they are paying people for tasks done, but these people are just not registered to them as full-time employees. Their full-time employee contingent might just be, 20 people? That's it? 20 people? And these are just perhaps administrators in one or other form? They are the only people, but the people actually doing the work, they're not the ones enjoying the said social security components or the safety nets, social safety nets. And that's where the other parts of the discussion have to take place, because you've got to understand, and I'll mention it again because I mentioned it last night, when the nitty-gritty things have to get to, let's for example say the parliament platform, to talk about these kinds of discussions, because it's at the parliament platform or National Assembly platform where these discussions have to be explored. They have to be explored. Because you cannot wait on a minister to do something. The minister cannot just do anything. The minister cannot just arbitrarily go and decide on a life-impacting or a broader-impacting policy on the Namibian people? No. Because we will then look not investor-friendly. Because currently, we are trying to invite as much investors as possible into our country. So you don't want to scare the investors away as well. Now, this guy's gives more headaches than it actually tries to solve some headaches. And the headaches have not even manifested as yet. Now, especially on the side of these sort of like understandings of the basic labor approach, is that employers under this report or the study, they still have some form of control in terms of how these contract or these contractors complete their work or do their work. But as I mentioned, if the work is not up to a set standard, here under a basic labor understanding is that the work is the employers are then coached and counseled in terms of saying, listen, you've got to increase your level of output, or you've got to increase, or you know, you go for some sort of corrective action or some sort of corrective counseling sessions. But in the gig economy, you are just cut off. You just said, okay, we don't want to work with you anymore. We don't want to do this. So there's no recourse. There's no improvement MAC factor. It's just, you are just disconnected. I gave you the very drastic example of last night where if Uber decided to open up or include Namibia as a territory, and let's say the taxi associations and unions decided to demonstrate and you know, make a lot of noise about how unhappy they are, because anyone that's a car owner then can then become an Uber operator without having a passenger transport permit classification on their licenses. I mean,
Paratus Mobile LTE, everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from 100 Namibian dollars per month, including VAT for prepaid, or 345 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit na.paratus.africa for more information. Always prepare.
Paratus. Now, just where I left off before the quick break was that if Uber was, you know, decided to open up into Namibia as a territory in terms of service provision, the public transport operators, the taxi drivers and the long distance operators themselves would have been in uproar. They would have demonstrated and all that. And if for some reason the Ministry of Works and Transport decided to impose one or other classification on anyone that decides to open up or make use of Uber, Uber would just switch it off. They would not care. They didn't invest much energy in it, so they didn't lose much investment in reversing their original decisions. Now, from that component, guys, it presents a clear and present danger and threat to the labor market, especially the gig economy. And the proposal or the proposition that needs to, or not the proposition, the suggestion that needs to stem or point towards direction is that there needs to be clear consideration. If you open up your mouth saying, uttering the words fourth industrial revolution, the first thing you've got to say is, what are you doing about the labor component? The moment you say 4IR, what are you doing about labor? Because 4IR's main aim is to take the human out of the equation of doing a task, of doing a job. Now, you have not even solved unemployment in Namibia. But you want to talk about 4IR. You didn't even solve the youth unemployment component, but you want to talk about 4IR. How many people actually have stable internet connections in Namibia? And where are they all concentrated? And that still links into my discussion of end of May? Or middle June, about the internet charges per data. Namibia is considered as one of the most expensive countries per gig. We're on 20, remember guys, on 22 US dollars per gig. That's the highest contract or highest service provision component that was researched. 22 US dollars for a gig? understand, not everything that shines or glitters is gold, nor is a gem. Please understand that, guys. As clear as daylight, not everything that shines and glitters is gold, or is a ruby, or is a saffron, or is a sapphire, or is a emerald stone. No, 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 no. Please. Sometimes it just lures you in to show you the horror. I'm being poetic right now. But from the aspect of the fourth industrial revolution and the gig economy that's contained within it, there are clear threats to the labor market. Now, let's get into the next component just to end off today's discussion. The next component is the social security for the in the on-demand economy. Now, the social security, guys, it's a US terminology. Please understand. Please bear with me. Because we have to think here in terms of that social safety nets. Now, what are the social safety nets that Namibia has? I don't know if our social security is ever going to function as true to its name as social security. Because the concept of saying or using the word social security or the phrase of it means that you are socially secure from the state. I do not know if the social security will ever get into that realm of social securing people. But the safety net that most Namibians have, or all of us, is the pension, the old age pension. In the US or in the components or the zones in the world where this gig economy first began from, the US Government Accountability Office in 2015 indicated that around 40% of the employed United States population in 2010 was under some form of non-standard employment. 40% of 300 million people. Remember, it could be give or take, you know, spare change here or there. But 300 million people, 40% is big. 40% is big. 40%, guys, what? 30 million times 4? It's big, it's 6, what? It's 15, yeah. 30 million, it's 150 million, no. Yeah, it's 150 million people. Now, that non-standard employment means that it's not formal. It's technically not formal employment. That also means that there was a large share of workers that lack the social safety net standard employment provides. Now, I've given you the standard template here in Namibia. If you work at a private company, you either get pension deduction or you get pension and medical aid. Social Security contributions is a must as a private company because it has to be allocated, but you get the pension or you get pension and medical aid. Because the medical aid is optional. I say it because they are not many companies in Namibia have the cash or the capital strength to go into another service contract with a service provider like a medical aid company. Not many private companies have it. Most of them are operating as small enterprises or medium enterprises. So we also have to understand the reality. But the gig economy, even though as bright and as shiny and as promising as it might sound, doesn't always provide the true benefits that you as a human being with skills actually want. Now, you've got to understand, according to this study also, that workers' benefits like unemployment insurance are also necessary to allow individuals to smooth their lifetime income and improve their welfare under undesirable labor outcomes. Undesirable labor outcomes is, let's say, for example, you were retrenched, you were fired, you were released. What's the other one? You required, in the US, they've got something known as workers' compensation. If you incurred an injury or one or other sort of like impact or scenario at work that renders you, technically, you can't do your job anymore. Now, That is how the conventional understanding of the labor agreement between an employee and an employer functions. However, the gig economy takes away, as I mentioned, that entire responsibility from the employer. The gig economy says, listen, you have so many people that can do copywriting for you, or they can do content generation for your website for you, or that are software developers sitting in Scotland, Bangladesh, India, Japan, China, Australia, South Africa, DRC even. But you don't owe them medical aid, you don't owe them pension deductions, you don't owe them a basic labor rate, or a minimum income rate. You don't owe them that rate. So you don't have to play by any ball in terms of honoring any labor standards. Technically, the gig economy is telling a lot of companies, you don't have to honor any labor standards, no matter where in the world you find yourself. Which is a truly, truly, truly scary thought. The next and final component, just to end off our discussion for tonight, is the collective bargaining one. Now, I kept this one especially last because, according to this report, collective bargaining here and the sort of like the future it faces is that the right to organize and collectively bargain, meaning to, as what unions technically do, or the existence of what brings the existence of a union, a labor union, into effect, is one of the 8 fundamental conventions according to the International Labor Organization, the ILO. The ILO, guys, is a sub-unit or sub-organization of the UN. It's a UN unit. It's a UN body. Now, this component, to collectively bargain and to organize, that sets the international labor standards and principles. In the digital economy, collective bargaining has its own set of complications, meaning it faces its own challenges. Because the work is usually carried out in isolation, there is no natural, easy way for workers to gather, nor to voice their concerns. There is no outlet. There is no way to try and improve labor standards or labor, working conditions in the gig economy. There is no way. The digital economy does not address these fears, does not address these questions. Moreover, while they have the technology to communicate, which is for sure, because you would have Wi-Fi at home, you've got a laptop, you've got a smartphone, you've got electricity, you can pay for the electricity from the various gig jobs that you have to do. But here's the thing, you cannot ask for more, you cannot bargain for more, you cannot expect a raise nor a bonus of any form. You can't. In some companies here in Namibia, they had the 13th check scenario. You know, that bonus check that you could budget on your very dry period throughout the year in Namibia. Imagine in the gig economy, they don't give you that stuff. They don't. So thinking about a bonus, it's out the window, my man. It's right there. It's out the window. It's just a figment of your imagination. On top of that, the gig economy also, or the people that work as these digital employees, they do not necessarily know who the other workers also are in the digital platform. And also, this is only the employing firm that occupies and owns this information component. And that, once again, comes back to the access to information discussion. Because how you and I understand a department in your company or in your ministry or in whatever organization that you work at, a department is that you know who your supervisors are or your manager, and you know who the other team members are. Now imagine if you did not know who the other team members are. You're working in isolation. You're working somewhere in your room at home or in your flat. So you do not know who's going to give you instructions. You do not know how you're going to report for any grievances to what HR body. Even if you have an HR company or body or representative, you don't know. Because there's one person hedging the information. One person is keeping the secrets. One person is denying access to information by not actually ensuring that they have to disclose any information to begin with. They just have to say, listen, Dwight, we've got this task. Are you interested or not? This is what it pays or what it potentially can pay. They don't say it pays this. They say it potentially can pay this much. So you don't even know what the minimum income or the minimum wage is that you can negotiate per hour, per 30 minutes, per day. You don't know. Now, it's key to note here, guys, in terms of the last minute and a half, is that the lack of physical hubs where gig workers can congregate diminishes the likelihood of union formations and or of joining an existing union enterprise. Since communal ties and the presence of a union are strong factors associated with workers' organization and union membership. Now, this is critical, guys, because it leaves much questions in the global discussion of the gig economy and the fourth industrial revolution. As I said, you cannot come and tell people everyone must get in on the fourth industrial revolution. I'm not knocking anyone. Please do not misunderstand me. Please do not misunderstand me. But we've got to talk the story. We've got to talk the talk as the talk should be discussed and spoken. And we've got to walk the walk as it should be walked and performed. Because ultimately, there will be a lot of headaches springing up. There will be. And on that note, this is Dwight signing out.
So, jy het dit gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Yep,
dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie frekseer nie?
Dit was net so effens seer, maar dit is die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dit is soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dit is die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry 'n besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Now, just ending off on this note, do stay tuned as the matriarch is ready to make her presence felt to you guys on the air here on Eagle FM. Also, stay tuned for the rest of your programming heading into the rest of the night. You can catch me tomorrow on the same time, same space, except for, yeah, well, it is Thursday. So on that note, let's see each other again and stay tuned.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or The Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400. or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.